Test.
Well, you know, it's been a long time. Happy New Year. You have anything to start on?
This is from the most recent.
I actually do have my copy, but I'll take this copy. So why don't we just go ahead and get started, because it's been a while since we've gotten together, and I know that we want to just jump right in and get caught up and move on. So we're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order at 5:40. And Jennifer, if you would do a roll call if you're ready to do that. And I think we can make note of those who sent out emails saying that they're not going to be here. I know that Barbara was fine. I think Brian.
Randy.
Yeah, Randy.
Okay. Let's see. Aaron Ammons is excused.
He's excused.
Trish Avery.
Sorry.
What's his kid? Bill Brown.
Present.
Lorraine. Brian Dolinar. And Barbara is excused. And Joan Miller.
Mm-hmm. Here.
And Putman is here. Patrick Thompson. And Ken Turner.
Present.
Okay. And Thomas Stefanos.
Here.
And Matt Gladney.
Present.
And Roger Holland.
Present.
And Randy Rosenbaum.
Excused.
And Pius Weibel.
Here.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer. Also, we have a quorum, so we're going to move right into approval of our agenda. Motion.
So moved.
Motion by
second.
By Matt. All those in favor of the agenda?
Aye.
Okay, so we're going to, did everybody get a copy of the minutes? This is from October 23rd. Were those the minutes you just sent out, mm-hmm. Jennifer?
First, there are actually three copies of three meetings of minutes. I think two October and one November here.
October 9, October 23, and November 23.
Oh, okay.
So if we want to all come up here, we could.
Okay, did everybody have a chance to look at these, or should we just take a moment and review them? Let's just take a moment, because I haven't had a chance to. So long ago, October 9th, it's kind of late, a date that's burning my brain. That's when Kiwan Carrington was killed. So I'm really surprised I'm at this meeting. why don't we go ahead? I wasn't at the, I can catch up with the notes on the 20th. I wasn't at that meeting, so why don't I go ahead and ask for if everybody's ready for the motion to just approve the minutes of October 9th, October 23rd, and November 20th. And, yes.
The only minutes that we need approval for are November 20. The other minutes were approved at
previous meetings. Oh, were they?
Okay. Oh, all right.
Okay.
Seek the approval of the minutes of November 20th.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'll second that
motion. Okay. So we can make a correction on our agendas for November 20th. Oh. And we have a motion by Pius and a second.
Okay.
And let the record reflect that Lorraine and Patrick showed up. All those in favor of approval of the minutes of November 20th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries. There should be extra reviews here. Would you connect to Patrick? We just approved the minutes of November 20th. Okay. Okay, and we're on item 5 of our agenda for announcements and communications.
I just wanted to announce that Erin is going to be speaking to the League of Women Voters on February 11th at noon at the Urbana City Building. He's going to be talking about the work of our committee, and I hope as many of you as possible will come, and I'm going to reserve seats in the front row for any of you who would like to sit in the front row, and we'll give you a chance to maybe talk for a minute or two about your interest in the committee and your involvement.
Thank you. What day was that again?
February 11th, Thursday.
Thursday.
Where is it again?
At the Urbana City Building.
In
the City Council Chambers.
What time?
Noon.
12 p.m.?
12 to 1.
This is the brown bag.
A brown bag is at 11:30.
Oh.
And the program is at noon. Okay. And it's open to the public, so please invite anybody that you know who would be interested in hearing about the work of the committee.
You said it's February 3rd.
11.
February 11th, that Thursday, February 11th at noon. If you want to bring a brown bag, you can come at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My announcement is to add to the recognition that Joan Miller received. Courtesy of the county board, who nominated her for the James R. Burgess Senior Humanitarian Award, in large part for the work that she has done on this committee and as an observer with the League of Women Voters. And by extension, the honor also goes to the College of Law Trial Advocacy Program. And Steve Becker, but they're Miller. This is Joan Miller was very you're almost circumspect in your acceptance tape.
A lot of other people were involved.
Right. That's what. But I think that this is. If you hadn't had a chance to see this, I'll just pass this around. These are extras. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Yeah, I think we should give her a round of applause. That was wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing on this committee and for the work that you do for the League.
Well, I'm glad to be able to be involved with the committee and see what we got started continue.
Thank you. I wanted to make an announcement, if there's no other announcements. My organization, Champaign-Urbana Area Project, is taking on a Haiti drive. And I know that a number of organizations is collecting funds, and I think that's admirable because the last I heard, maybe $75 million was already collected just through the texting alone. So I think that people are really stepping up in terms of their humanitarian efforts to send money and help those the people of Haiti. But my organization is more interested in taking donations for items such as light clothing and toiletry, such as like deodorants, toothpaste, stuff for personal hygiene items, and those kinds of things. We have a number of different organizations, schools that are helping to collect these items. And we're going to be accepting those collection of those items through February 5th. The Housing Authority has joined in our efforts, and we do have a big, don't worry about my office isn't big, but we're accepting donations because we have a warehouse and a pilot who flies to Hawaii. Ooh, I'd like to be in Hawaii. Haiti, on a regular basis, who has said that he would be willing to work with us to get our items to a community-based organization.
So bring them to your office? Or?
You can bring them to our office. And also, I think if you have someone who you know that has a lot of items that they want to donate, the warehouse is right here on East Main in Urbana. And Janice Mitchell's has part of the building, and the other part the Housing Authority is allowing us to use for warehouse space. So call my office at 373-2827, and the number is 373-2827. And if you want to set up where, or you know someone who wants to deliver in Urbana, you need to call us ahead of time so we can have somebody out there to let them in. Okay? Any more announcements? Thank you. Any public participation? None? Thank you. Okay, so we have an update on the grant proposal. Unfortunately, we did not get it. I know that Kim did a really good job in putting together the proposal and coming out and sharing with the committee information about the grant. I think it's been so long ago, but Matt, did she came to your to the Justice Committee or the County Board? She came to a group, she not just our group, but I think she came out the day that I presented to the committee, the Justice Committee, and talked a little bit about what we were trying to do. And I know that we want to thank the judge because and for being, if it had gone through, it would have been the courts that would have been the receiver of that. So, unfortunately, it didn't work this time, but that's, you know, we still have to, you know, look for other ways to get our work done.
I have not personally spoken with Kim, and it's my fault that I haven't, but I know that she had submitted several proposals. Do you know if any of hers were...
You know, I don't know, but I do know that she does do that kind of thing all the time. Because, but I don't know if any of those were granted.
Well, I will take it on myself to contact her and ask, because I would like to know if we might be resubmit this next year. Of course, with the university finances as they are, the vice chancellor just might have an interest.
I think they have a list of the funded programs online.
As a committee, I don't know if we need to do anything formally by sending out something to Kim. I don't know if it's necessary.
We signed up.
Okay, that was. Oh, I missed that meeting. That must have been the last meeting. Okay. Well, is there anybody else that wants to add to that discussion? Okay. All right. Update on questionnaires. And I'm going to turn that over
to Roger Holland.
Okay, Roger.
I have spoken with Kirk Bedwell about the progress on recreating the questionnaires based on the format that the committee's approved. And Kirk has worked with our software vendor so that Kirk can actually do the work himself and not actually have to have the gentleman from Texas come here and you know, experience those costs or whatever they would be. I don't know what that would entail, but Kirk can actually do it himself. It is going to take quite some time because, as I've explained in previous meetings, it's not just creating the form, but actually tying it into the system so that it gathers the data that we've wanted to gather from the questionnaires. So I asked Kirk today, spoke to him about where he thinks we are and how long he thinks it will take. Based on what he's indicated, we're shooting for an April 1 ballpark date for putting those questionnaires into work. I don't have any information on hand as to how successful the letter that Judge DeFontis did. We've been including that since the mid-November. I don't have any information right now as to how successful it's been, but I will have that before the April 1 deadline, so we'll know what impact, if any, that's had on our people coming in and doing or returning their questionnaires. So that's sort of an update where we are with that. The other thing I've done, based on the questions that Bill has had and wanting to get to the bottom of any issues that he might have with regard to the computer software, I asked Kirk about his availability to come on Friday evenings to maybe one of our meetings so that we could all sit around and ask him questions. And he indicated that he would love to, but unfortunately, one of his jobs outside of the courts is to referee sporting events, and this is volleyball season for him, and the volleyball matches apparently are on Friday evenings. But he did indicate that he would be willing to set up a time during the day anytime anybody wanted to go over and sit down and talk to him, and he could take them through and answer any questions to the best that he could. And I'm sure that we could work it out if given enough advance notice so that we could at least have Mr. Dowler on the telephone. So that if anybody wanted to answer or ask any questions about the system or about the data, that they could do that. So if anybody wants to do that, if that's something the committee wants to do as a whole, or if they want certain people to do that, we will make, Kirk City would make time to do that.
Okay. Did you just speak and say Dower?
Gary Dowler.
Right, but I thought you said that Kirk would be able to proceed without having to consult with Gary Dowler.
Right, on actually creating the questionnaires, but about the actual software system itself, since their company developed it, if there were any questions that Kirk couldn't answer, having Mr. Dowler available by telephone might be a way to get to answer any other technical questions that Kirk wouldn't know. Since Kirk didn't develop the software, he simply knows how to use it.
Thank you for clarifying that. That would be very gracious if he would.
And I'm sure Gary would be willing to do that. So basically it's up to the committee if there are any individuals or if the committee wants to as a group meet with Kirk over, probably best to meet over in the courthouse so that he can actually bring up the software if someone wanted to look at it, or if he just wanted to have a couple people or whatever, he will be more than willing to do that. He just can't do the Friday evenings, unfortunately.
I'd definitely be interested in going.
And again, just let us know what times are available or when you're available, and we'll make Kirk available. And anyone else that we'll have to do it all at the same time again.
Right,
As many people that are interested, if they can't all do it at the same time, we'll make Kirk available.
Yep, you can just shoot me an email. They'll have my email address and let me know when you want to come, and we'll make that happen.
Okay, go ahead, Jim. So, Roger, April 1st is the date that we think we can begin using the new questionnaires?
Correct. Okay. That's the date we're shooting for, for him to have the programming done, to get that done.
Okay, thank you.
On April 4th.
Go ahead,
Patrick.
I have a question, and let me, so that I'm clear and understand where things are at now. I'm still not really fully understanding how this guy here is the one that created the system.
He works for the company that created the system, yes.
So I am still not clear. I know the questionnaire is going to be changing some of the questions that are going to be asking, correct?
Right.
But I'm still not, it's not clear to me how the system or how whatever software program, how it is actually from the voter registration is targeting Because from that, that's how you guys send out the questionnaires and the summons, correct?
Mm-hmm. Voter registration, driver's license, and Illinois ID cards.
So those are the three things, the three major things.
Mm-hmm.
You said driver's license, voter registration.
And Illinois ID card.
Illinois ID card. Well, when you say those three things, I know that's going to exclude a lot of minorities, especially in that age range, maybe 18 to easily 40. They may have suspended driver's license. Some probably may never have voted. May not have ID. May have driver's license, never had ID, a lost driver's license. So that I know is going to exclude a lot of minorities from being able to be in this pool, so that these questionnaires and summons can go out. Now that's just part of what I see. Now you may have some other issues, maybe addresses and those things. So if I'm off the mark, let me know. But that's kind of what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that as, okay, well, why are we not getting that age group or that group or even those that have been here for many, many years still are not being called for jury service and jury duty? So how do we look at that process? How do we look at that process, and what is our options? Because that seems like, is that a law?
Those are the three.
And that's a law, so that's more of a Springfield.
Exactly.
So that's something that would have to.
It's a state. It's a state issue. Yes.
State
exactly
issue.
Right. Exactly right.
To be able to say, okay, well, we're going to go outside of that voter registration, driver's license, and ID, and maybe add some more qualifications in there to allow people to be in that pool. Because I could just see, I could tell you, and it's just marginal, but I think we're probably missing a lot of people in that age group, 18 to clearly 40.
What normally happens, just so that you know, we get what's called the jury wheel, or basically a disc from the Secretary of State that has this information on it, that just the names and addresses and telephone numbers. That information is then inputted into this computer software system, and the software then is a thing that randomly selects it. So to get something different on that disk that we get from Springfield that has all this information on it, we would have to have the law changed to indicate that we want to go out and get a different group of people. And we've talked about that, and that would be fine, but right now we're limited to...
Right, I understand that, but that's...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my... Because I'm trying to get it, mm-hmm. I'm looking at that from my experience, and then I'm looking, okay, well, what am I missing here? What am I not? What are we missing? And that's the sticking point for me.
Because I think... The judge wants to respond.
No, go ahead.
Bill has a question. I think it's an important point, but I think two things we've talked about that would make a difference there is one, kind of an outreach or public education factor that makes sure people know that that's where we're getting those names from, because it's pretty easy to get a state ID. They just have to do it. And same thing with updating your driver's license address. If that's wrong, then you probably aren't going to get your summons. And it's really easy to go online and change that, or to just go to the Secretary of State's office and do it, or, the driver's license facility. The other thing we had talked about is having, like, a legislative kind of lobbyist subcommittee, so that we would talk to some of our representatives and see if the state law can be changed to broaden the types of IDs that could be used, such as Parkland College IDs or U of I IDs, or anything else that you can think of, that we could talk about with our legislators. But that would probably be a little bit longer term thing. But I think the public education thing would probably be the fastest way to try to get those people into the pool.
I noted from the minutes that Randy Rosenbaum indicated he would be willing to serve in that capacity or at least be on the committee to talk to the legislature.
I'd like to go. I think Joan has a question, and I think it's all related. So
I was going to ask, when somebody has a revoked driver's license, well, what do they have? I mean, do they have any?
When Mr. Johnson was talking about that, I don't know. The Secretary of State still has their biographical information as of the last driver's license they had. They don't purge that, and I don't know that they pull that information.
I don't know whether it's a valid driver's license or whether it is simply a driver's license at some point. I honestly don't know how to answer that question either.
And I'll move on. But I'm going to, he made a point, and I think it's a good point. But I think if we say, okay, here's where a problem may be, here's where a problem may be. We may have 18 to 40-year-olds who lost their license or don't vote or don't have identification. So, therefore, this population, you guys are probably maybe being excluded from being on the jury.
So you will be excluded.
You will be excluded, and you'll be excluded from even being in that pool.
Right.
So that's something that I think that we have to make awareness. Okay, well, you need to be able to, because then I think that could be a choice or a decision. That's okay, well, let me go get my ID, or let me go start voting, or let me, driver's license, that's a different thing. But those are the things that I'm kind of saying, I'm not saying that it's concrete, but it's it's something that I see that may be missing from that, the reason why you're not getting that younger range or that younger group or that age range to be on the jury.
I have a question. In terms of the once you receive that disc into the office and you're inputting that information into the system, so it then becomes random from the type of ID that's been entered. So it doesn't choose like, okay, I was thinking, can we tell by who's being called if they're being called from their driver's license, or if we have an overabundance of individuals being randomly selected from their the state ID? Can you tell the breakdown in what form of identification? Because I do believe that the African American community or minority community has more state IDs, maybe more state IDs than they would have a driver's license.
I wish I had a brilliant answer for you, but I have absolutely no idea. I don't know whether it's something that the system would capture or not, and that's a good question for Kirk, and I'm sure he'd be able to answer it for us. I just know that that's the format that it comes in, is a CD that has, or multiple CDs that has this data on there, and I'm not even sure whether it's anything more than simply names and addresses and telephone numbers. I mean, I don't even know if there's anything more information on there than that. I honestly don't know.
Well, so I'm just wondering how it's capturing the information and throwing out the random selection. And I was just, because I was thinking to Patrick's question and comments about that group, age group, not having suspended license, and we don't know the answer to that question. That was a good question, whether or not it just looks at valid driver's license or not.
Right.
But even still, if an individual is without then any kind of ID, I would assume that most of the people who don't have ID at least have a state ID card, because you need that, some kind of ID for cashing checks, for some kind of purpose. You have to have some kind of ID, and that's
Well, I think that's why probably the legislature included that state ID as part of, you know, what they were trying to do and to be more inclusive.
But it would be interesting to know how the machines.
But that's a good question for Kirk. I'm sure he'd be able to answer it for us.
Yeah, and we said, and we did discuss how often we got that updated information.
I believe it's I believe it's annually.
Once a year.
Yep.
Well, can you tell me about the number of people beyond that CD that you all receive?
How many people?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea roughly how many people are on that CD. I don't know if there's a count or whatever. That's, again, something that Kirk might know. I know systemically how it works, but the inner workings of the software, it's not something I'm 100% familiar with. But Kirk could tell you, and would be happy to, I'm sure. He can tell you how many records came across.
My only other question is that since we've been meeting, have you noticed an increase in people of color in the jury pool?
I have. We had a 4-day week between Christmas and New Year's, and I got 2 jury trials done. 1 jury trial, I had 4 African-Americans on the jury out of the 14 sitting in the jury box. And I saw, for the second trial, I had at least 2, and I had at least 5 or 4, 5 or 6 in the courtroom based on a total of 35, 36. I had 5 or 6 in the, and again, this is just looking at people. Again, you know.
Based on the population, minorities make about 12% of the population, 4 out of, what, 14?
Maybe
30-something. So it was amazing that week between Christmas and New Year's, we had 96 jurors show up out of 120 summonses.
Wow,
that's amazing.
Couldn't buy any gifts though.
Considering the holidays and everything.
But I noticed that specifically that week, and then prior to that I had a couple of weeks of trial, and I'm seeing what I think more, but that's just what I'm looking at.
That's good.
And again, from the point of view of the prosecutors, I got to give them credit because, you know, when it comes time to use a peremptory challenge,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure they're not using it for discriminatory purposes. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that one jury we had 4 African American.
I think that sounds good. But we want to, you know, make sure you have a larger pool to select from.
Well, that's one thing that the new questionnaires will tell us. You know, they will indicate there's a question on there about the background of the individuals, and we'll know them. And that's something that they fill out. So that'll be a big help to us to know exactly what we're getting.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll find out how the letters, if they're having any impact at all. Okay. Any other questions on our questionnaire?
Well, I'm kind of shoehorning something in. It goes back to what Joan said during the announcements. I'm thinking about February 11th, and I know you're having Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if Judge Stefanis or the court administrator, Mr. Bedwell, might like to come to February 11th.
I'll have to ask Kirk.
Really be worthwhile.
I'll try to be there.
I've got it on my calendar. I put it on there when Joan announced it, so I'll definitely try to be there.
Could be such dynamite. Discussions happen. A very well-informed group of people mm-hmm. who are going to be there that day, ready to become better informed. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I shoehorned that in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, if there's no more questions, then we're going to move down to the article by Mary Beth Professor. And I'll let Jennifer.
Oh, I really don't have anything to say about it. I'm glad. I want to thank everyone who gave their time to answer her questions so that she could do a superior piece for her journalism class.
Did we get a copy of that?
I've got it with me
online.
She emailed it. Yeah.
You know, if it was, we first met her because she was writing for the Daily Illini, and that was useful because that's something that was very broadly disseminated.
something that helped me was when she was interviewing me and asking me, what is the jury of your peers? Mm-hmm. So, you know, in this room, we began to get to know one another in our work by asking ourselves that question. And so it was like maybe 8 months later, I thought again to try to give her an answer. And what I came up with was it would be not a jury of my peers so that they are all 60-year-old Caucasian women who use walkers, but it would be like people who look like Champaign County. Mm-hmm. So that there would be a 60-year-old white woman, and there would be 10% people of color, or 12%, and there would be some farmers, and there would be some highly educated people, formerly highly educated, and some people, you know, that it would look like Champaign County. That's we had these long discussions, and it was good exercise for me to go back to that question that we asked among ourselves. I just wish that the DI would keep on writing about it, more so than the journalism students doing their projects that only the people in their class get to see.
Well, I don't know that they would know. I mean, how did we get she just took an interest in what we were doing, this particular student?
I think so.
Didn't she cover it the year before?
Yeah,
it was her first year. Yeah, she covered it at one of our first meetings.
It was May Day is Law Day, and very close to that comes the annual release of the Legal Women Voters College of Law annual report. And I think she was following those stories, and that led to the formation of the beginning of this group's work. And I don't think that was how it went.
But did you understand why she said it was for her class and it never would be published in the DI? I mean, I wondered why it couldn't be.
Because
there's a reason?
She was doing it for that week.
They have to, if somebody from a journalism class tells you they're going to interview you, quote you, and it's going to be solely for a journalism class, if they tell you that at the time, they can't go back later on and do that. So, ethically, that's
good. Yeah, well, what I was going to ask you, John, is does the league ever work with more interns? Other than the ones that do the trial watching and the court watching?
We don't. I mean, all the students come from Steve Beckett's class.
Okay. Because I was thinking if there was some way that if you all had interns and they were looking to do this kind of work, maybe we could have one assigned to our committee.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. The other problem with Steve's students is that they only observe during fall semester. So that's a very short period of time, actually.
All right, well, we thanked her, I'm sure. Is there any other discussion on that item? All business. Taping up the community leaders says that we need to get going. Yeah, I could not agree with that more, but I think the issue was a matter of we were probably waiting to see whether or not we were going to get that grant. That was certainly going to help in our outreach efforts. We know that the Bar Association, I think that the offer is still on the table. They had said that they would contribute a little bit to our pot.
For the radio spots, specifically, is what they indicated. If we did something different, we'd have to get their approval, but that's what they approved of.
Yeah, I think that's the taping of the community. Hadn't we decided that that's how we were going to do the radio spots, maybe? Or hadn't we not decided how we were going to do it? Well, we might want to just open that up for some discussion and see where we're going to go from. How do we do that? We didn't get the grant. You know, we do have a little money. Do we have enough for the radio spots? Do we start to work on that and continue to seek funds? Or more outreach? Go ahead, Matt.
If you want to raise more funds for it, because I know Justin Funnis has raised some money for this, right?
I think what's our total? We have about $900.
If we want to raise, that's great. If you want to raise more, though, if you want to ask people for, like, is it okay to ask people for donations on this? And if so, would we have to create, like, a fund?
We contribute to the citizen staff, I think.
What?
How is that money? I just got the $800.
That money's not been collected yet.
But the Bar Association has committed some, and then I'm going to use some of our marriage fund money.
You can go to it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't put it in the marriage fund. That's governed by the Supreme Court.
Right. And the other thing is the money from the Bar Association. We just left with them, indicating that I would let them know, or we would let them know where to cut the check.
Because that's exactly the thing I was going to say. I mean, we as committee members, if we want to get this going and like start a fundraising drive, you know, we could talk to people we know, and people they could talk to people they know, and say, you know, explain it. But we'd have to say, like, you know, who to write a check to, or what to write a check to. So that would be something I think we need to establish.
Which helps really see how much money you want to raise, too, I think.
Yeah, they have a goal. And the other thing is there's all kinds of tax implications. Most people, if they're going to make a donation, want it to be a tax so they can write it off on their taxes. So you need a 503C designation, I think is what it's called. And there's steps that you have to go through in order to get that accomplished. And it's not as simple as going out and having a bake sale or something and raising the money. It's not that easy anymore.
No, but if we can figure out a way how I can probably talk to my board about what it is, and I think that's something that they probably would be interested in seeing happen to, you know, what our outreach efforts in getting more participation on our jury.
Well, what we could do is the same as what we did with the Bar Association, which is if we indicated this is the vendor we want to go to, this is what we're going to do, then maybe we could go to someone and say, would you like to pay for 6 spots on whatever radio station, this is how much it's going to cost, and have them cut the check directly to there as opposed to going through us might be the easiest way.
Or like now what we're doing in terms of our drive is we're having people sign their name on if they want to get a letter from us stating that they made this donation. And they'll get a letter from our organization with a value amount, and they can then use that as a tax deduction. Patrick, and
I was under the impression that the public service announcements are free.
Some are.
And is this a public service announcement? And would this be, would the stations not charge a fee for public service announcements?
They generally don't, but they only do a certain number. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have more, then you have to pay. So
and they usually show them in the middle of the night or whatever. Oh, no, so have somebody else.
You're competing with other public services.
Right, if they have someone who's willing to pay for that time, then they're not going to be willing to give that up for a public service announcement. So if we're really trying to get the word out, we want to hit the most people at the most time as opposed to, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's great, but who's up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch a public service announcement?
Now, the radio stations, I'm assuming we don't know which radio stations we're going to target.
Well, we talked about WBCP.
I mean, I know that, but on a broader scale, like, I mean, you know, we know the one, you know, that
West and the others.
But the other stations, WDWS, 5WIL, Will, are we talking about news stations, News Gazette, or are we just talking about?
Well, I think that's something that we really haven't. The only thing that I heard us mention was WBCP. I don't think that we made a list of our targeted market and who the stations were going to be. But if we're targeting specifically, if we're looking at targeting specifically the under, you know, on the, if we're looking at minorities and people of color increasing those numbers on the panel, then I think we need to be more specific about our marketing campaign.
So you're talking about 105, 107.
Well, and I think that we, when we set this up before, I think we used WVCP as the, that's where we got the estimates for the fundraising, mm-hmm. for the raising the $800 or whatever it was we looked at how much it was going to cost to do so many ads for so long at that, I have to look back in the minutes to remember, but I think that's where we got that number from, was because we specifically indicated that was the station that we were targeting at the time, that we didn't have to do it that way, but I think that's where that came from initially.
Well, I wonder if the board, I mean, if the committee would agree to maybe have a little working group, a little subgroup of the committee to work on some of the logistics about this. Well, we can use these funds right now. We know that. If we want to get started working on production of a piece, at least get something in production, and get people identified. Are we going to use young youth? Because I thought we were going to do something cool. We got to put the cool factor in. According to Matt, we got to put the cool factor in. So we need to find somebody that's going to put that cool factor in our message. And the message would probably include the three types of identification that gets us into the system. And, you know, I think that might be an idea if the committee thinks we should set, if there's some people that are willing to work on that piece, I think we should get working on that.
Well, while we're having this discussion, I want to know if I'm the only person who was unaware of two different kinds of media presentations. One would be our own adaptation of the juror's orientation video, for which the script is already exists, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But rather than having Judge Ladd in her row mm-hmm. or a uniformed court security officer mm-hmm. have the speaking roles, those parts would be read by Lauren Coward, Matt Gladney, Patricia, mm-hmm. Aaron, Patrick. But we don't. I didn't think much more needed to be done other than have you, if you want to have it take place in the court, or if you'd rather that it be set, that the background be elsewhere, do that. But isn't it, we just need to, okay,
yeah.
do it. Say a place, say a time, be there, be square.
Right.
Okay. The other thing, though, for a public service announcement, which might also be a paid TV, a paid radio ad, mm-hmm. is that needs to be more highly produced, and that's what the beauty of Kim Cronick and Youth Media Workshop mm-hmm. work is. They know how to do it. But we know how to do it, too,
right.
because we've got Aaron, and maybe Kim would help us. Mm-hmm. That go to a studio, get whatever your background music is going to be, get your attractive voices, your hip voices, your, you know, and that's what we would need money for. And I think once we produce a very powerful, attractive radio ad, then people would pay money to keep it going. Because then people could know, oh, this is what I'm paying for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the video piece would be good if you wanted to, if members of the committee or the committee as a whole wanted to go out to a group to talk about how important it is. Mm-hmm. You know, to have that as a tool to use
yeah.
Would be really useful.
And we have the capacity to do it at the courthouse, you know, tape it, or do it in the jury assembly room. You could use one of the courtrooms
yeah.
if you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know, here's
we have the equipment too.
Some self-disclosure here. You know, I've been in a funk. You know, and it's not because of my physical problem, and I lost my job, but I really got depressed after finding out we weren't going to get the grant, and I think we kind of been off our, lost our mojo. I'm not kidding, and I think we just have to regroup now. And I think, you know, because we're saying, well, why haven't we done anything yet? I think we were really counting on that, and I just want to say, okay, that's how I feel. That's why I didn't do certain things. That's why I didn't pick up the phone and call Aaron and say, hey, man, come on, let's get going. Or why I didn't bug Trisha and say, why haven't you done that yet? Because I think we've just kind of been, you know, well, let's get the, you know, the fire back and get going. You know, this is, get it back now.
Patrick.
I would like to put my 5 cents in here on this. I would really think that we should probably, you guys mentioned the cool thing. I'm not really supportive of that. For one reason, I think it's a very serious obligation. And I want that age group that I know to take it very seriously and to understand the importance of being serious, because that I think we need to be careful with, very careful. So I'm not encouraging any kind of music in the background, especially rap music. I think that, that's a more of a social thing, entertainment. We're talking about civic obligation, and we want people to come in and take it serious and understand the importance of, being respectful, taking notes, knowing how to ask questions, understanding that it's going to probably be uncomfortable, and you may be nervous, and that's part of it. And nobody that probably even experienced people that sit on a jury, I'm sure that, there's some nervousness or some fear. So we need to be able to address those things so that they are very, very clear what they're getting ready to walk into, and that they need to participate in this process and being able to internalize the serious nature of sitting over someone and making judgment and passing judgment. So that I think we need to be very, very careful and cautious about. Even if we did, it was to be running on some of the stations. The stations I know they listen to is 105 and 107. If those public service announcements came across, then they would take that serious, be serious, because I know there is times when things that are important to them, they're very serious about it. And so we want them to be serious about this. So that would be my strong opinion about doing a public service announcement, whether we do it at the courthouse, whether we do it within the church, whether we do it somewhere, but it needs to be in where it's formal, professional, and that we are, and the person that's giving the message, because it does matter, the person that's delivering the message.
So what I hear you saying is you would like to sit on that committee that is going to be working on producing a spot for the radio station. Now, we do have that $800 earmarked, I think, for WBCP already. So what we do need to do is to get a small group together to come up with the copy and bring it back so that we could hear what the spot will sound like.
Well, I mean, I know.
So would you be willing to be one of the people to work on that?
I mean, I don't have any problem about working on it, because I know Aaron is, I could, if we're going to pick a committee and who's going to deliver the message, how many people are going to deliver the message, who's all going to be involved in the message, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I just want to make sure that it's being clear that we're reaching the people and we're reaching them with the right kind of message.
I agree. But sometimes my idea of what he meant when he said cool factor is sometimes you have to get somebody's attention, and it could be a serious matter, but you first have to get the attention of the person that's listening, and sometimes it's just the way you speak.
I understand that.
That will engage the listener. So I think that's all I was. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that was my vision. I didn't think
that's exactly what I was speaking for. Okay. To clarify, I mean, I don't know if I used the word cool initially or not, or how that came into being, but I wasn't picturing a yo-yo-yo and a rap music in the background and all that kind of stuff. But just something, as Tricia said, the you know, gets somebody's attention. I would, this is just me, but I personally, what I don't want to see is the 30-second spot of just dead silence with somebody somberly talking for that period of time. I think if we're trying to reach youth, you know, I wish younger people would judge things more on content than otherwise. But unfortunately, a lot of times, younger people don't. But we don't want to make it a, you know, a hip hop fest or anything either. But something, and it'll take some discussion and it'll take some input. But something that grabs people's attention and something that, well, it relays the importance of the jury service, but also makes it, imparts to it that it is something that they should want to do. You know, I was just speaking with somebody about this committee's work the other day, and I was talking about, just anecdotally, people that I know that get called for jury service, typically they have the financial means to be able to, you know, go in. They can give up a day's or two or two or a week's work and go in and do it. But their reaction when they get the questionnaire and the summons is to, you know, basically they groan and they're like, you know, dang, I got to do this. And it is not positive. They do not have a positive connotation with jury service, which I don't personally get. But, you know, that seems to be a general reaction I hear from a lot of people that I know. And, however, I always follow up with them after they're done. And their reactions always range from either a middle-of-the-road, like, yeah, you know, it wasn't that bad, to like, oh, that was great. And I never hear anyone come out of it with the way they went into it, which was, you know, that it was terrible. I would just hope that we could, part of what we're doing could wash out that reaction, that initial reaction people have. That we could somehow, and I guess that's what I meant by cool factor, is that, you know, we could just, you know, instead of people's reaction when they get the questionnaire being a groan and a, you know, gosh, I wish I didn't have to do this, to being like, oh, great, jury service. You know, may not be able to get everyone to do that, but I wish we could get more people to have that reaction. So,
agree with you, but I think it's this. I think that most people, and even people that I've talked to that sit on jurors or called me and said, well, hey, you know, older, you know, people in the community, and said, well, I call for a jury. And it's that scaredness and that nervousness. And, you know, because they don't know what to expect. You know, and it runs a little deeper than just that. But we need to, I think the best way to deal with it is to bring it out in the open during that public service announcement and let them know that, hey, it's okay. You're not the only one. And it ain't going to be the last time you're going to be nervous and scared about something. So we have to make that, you know, that case to that, you know, because I think that is important. If we make it for those who have the means, and maybe nerds of those that don't have me, whatever the case. But I'm strongly, you know, believe that the message has to come across that, you know, you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to be involved in the this process, and you can't complain if you don't get involved. And you can't say, well, you know, I don't know, or whatever, if you don't. So that's just my, you know.
We're talking about public service announcements. There's going to be a 30-second radio commercial, and that goes rather quickly. And Mr. Thompson's point about take this seriously is correct, but it doesn't mean that we can only do one.
Right.
We can do one that talks about the importance of it and how you get into the pool. Mm-hmm. You can do another one about, okay, what is jury service about? We can do 30 seconds on. Mm-hmm. What can you expect when you show up? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it doesn't mean that we have to try to cram everything into one 30-second spot. Mm-hmm. And if the first one is successful and well-received, we'll get the funds for the rest of them.
So that's what we need to work on. So Patrick, you're going to work with maybe Aaron if he has time. I'd be willing to lend a hand, and we can do stuff via email. Anybody else willing to? Any language or any copy that we come up with, we could certainly share it with the
sure,
rest of.
Sure.
I think ideas need mm-hmm. to generate. We yeah. need to get something down on paper. And I was thinking, you know, when you think of advertisers make a lot of money. You see the silliest commercials. You think they're stupid, but you know what? They're making a lot of money from those commercials. That's the one that you remember. It might be so goofy. The one that I'm thinking about is the little turtle on the wagon. I think that is funny. And he said, yeah, you know, and it is. I can't even remember the commercial.
Oh, it's an old man turtle, and he's trying to come onto this old lady
turtle.
Jump
on up here, pretty lady, and grab you. Who's starting to let him roll real
right.
slow? And then it's what do you don't like to have fun? But I mean, that those. So all
yeah.
I was saying to Patrick is,
right.
It's about the message and how
yeah.
what sticks
right.
in your mind
right.
and,
right.
and
right.
stays
right.
with you,
right.
even though it, you know they make a lot of money off of those silly commercials.
Well, in that respect, one of the things we have going for us is there are no other public service announcements about
there
jury
aren't.
Duty. Mm-hmm. So I mean, we're going to be the only ones out
and
there.
That's great.
Right.
I
can make it and elsewhere in the state.
I think it's so exciting that we can do this if we do it right.
I just have one thing to say. When I think of Cooler Hip, I think of Judge DeFantis, so I'm sure that he would add
yeah.
a lot of cool factor to whatever
yeah.
it is.
But you know, if he did, that would probably be really, that would probably get people's attention.
You know, he's been tapped to be on the media committee. The minutes will show.
Yeah.
You're
okay.
listed at Patrick to work with herself and Aaron.
And Aaron, if, you know, because he's the chair, I think he should be involved and have some say in it. And is there anybody else that's willing to sit and try to come up with some language for our 30-second spot? And we might even reach out to Dr. P.
Because
I think he has his voice carries through William Patterson. Okay, go ahead.
Tricia, what do you think, and others, about having a contest and asking young people to submit?
Oh, that's
sorry. Really? No, and I'm not surprised.
Do they have
knowledge
about the...
Well,
you think they don't have enough
knowledge? Well, I think we get back to Mr. Okay. Thompson's position that...
We can ask our peer jury.
Let's make this has got to be serious. This is...
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not sure how much...
Okay.
Okay, I think so. We got started on that.
Who's going to talk to Dr. Patterson?
Yeah. Can I just suggest maybe if you're going to have a meeting, post it to the group, and if someone was there available.
Sure.
Okay.
I can't commit to actually doing.
So if you call the meeting, Patrick, let us know.
What?
A meeting, the first meeting to start working on the copy, then just send it out to the group, and if they're available, they can come.
So you guys want...
I'm assigning you in charge of this.
Of the media. So this is a subcommittee? Or what?
This is a subcommittee, a little small, because we all don't need to work on that. But, I mean, we can all have our...
Right.
Work on.
I think the creative aspect comes across easier in small groups.
It does.
Subcommittee.
And then we can put it out to the group, and the group can...
Media relations. Call it a subgroup of subcommittee on media relations.
And also, while we were talking about the video, I think that's a good idea. Maybe we should also put it out there once we send out an email to just remind the group if we could have the courts. I don't know which one of Roger or if the judge would organize maybe a time where if we're going to do the videos that are pretty serious about just talking about jury that we can take out and sell. I mean, not sell it, but, you know, if we want to talk to groups about what it is that we're doing, say we want to go to the Rotary. and show them that here's what our jury selection committee is doing, and here's a video. Take a look. And maybe they would be willing to donate some money to our cause. I don't know. But if you all would let us know if there's a time where which best if anybody wanted to come in and get a
video. To, like, use the video or to... Basically, the only restrictions we have is that you have to do it when the courthouse is open.
Mm-hmm,
as a general
that's fine.
Rule. And video cameras are not allowed in the courthouse as a general rule.
But
so.
We did our own disc for the jury.
We're talking about the height, like our Judge Ladd.
Judge Ladd's disc.
Right. That was done with an outside individual who came in and did the video.
We can do that. We can set that up.
Okay. So, yeah, we can make that
if
happen.
You can work on that, mm-hmm. and then we can set up a taping day.
Sure.
And give people enough notice, time
just,
to get
just tell me if you want a courtroom. Or do you want a courtroom or do you want to use the jury assembly room? That's the only...
Oh, I think a courtroom would be good.
All right.
I think a courtroom would be good because mm-hmm. that's really seriousness and having, you know, don't have to fear. We're in the space. We're in the courtroom itself. And,
right.
You know.
Just...
Yeah. Yeah, just let us know. You can email me and let me know when you want to do it. We'll make that happen.
Okay.
Logistics are not a problem.
Okay. So we're working on that. We'll also think about setting up a taping day, mm-hmm. and we'll get the copy. Do we have copies of that script?
I gave Aaron
the
disc of Judge Ladd, and the only thing I said to him was obviously watch it and take out what you think is appropriate and. I mean, you know, copy down what you think is appropriate, and then that's your script.
Well, okay. So he has that.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. And the only other thing is in terms of video, I know that there's public access channels will allow you to come. I know Urbana will. They'll let you come in and make a video, and they'll work with you to do a video and run it.
They'll tape you.
They will tape you and run it. And so if we do a good production, I mean, maybe we could... run it on the public access channels as well.
Just to clarify.
And that's free.
Yeah.
So the media subcommittee will be working on the radio and television spots? Or just the...
Well, we're going to come over with a copy for the radio ads.
But I'm also hearing about videos and...
But we can coordinate with... This is that committee. Mm-hmm. We can coordinate with Roger about the video. Setting up a taping day.
And that's to do the intro to the jury thing? Is that what you're talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Okay.
And in the meantime, well, I also will talk to Aaron about lifting out the script so that we can get it out to the various groups, the members on the committee, and those that feel comfortable that might want to go in and on taping day and do a video. We can, so we'll work on that too, that will same group. Okay? So we can get the ball rolling on, at least on this piece. Okay? Do we have any other, anything else that we
want to do? Well, there is some other old business, even though when we were going to approve the agenda, I failed to bring it up, but I took some responsibility to do some research at our last meeting.
Okay.
One was to find out what are the, we talked about how low the per diems are, just $10 a day, mm-hmm. and what are the, what per diems are paid in other counties in our state. And I said, oh, no problem. We belong to the Illinois Association of County Board Members and Commissioners. Mm-hmm. No problem. They'll do the survey for us. Just like that. Well, I found out that the Illinois Association of County Board Members and Commissioners doesn't have that information. Mm. Deb Busey kindly emailed back that we don't have that information. We would have to individually call the courts in all of the counties in the state. Mm. But, and then this is material that I believe Judge DeFon has put together for the last Justice and Social Services Committee a meeting in 2009. This shows...
When we were trying to raise the right. mileage.
So this shows the per diems that are paid in the counties to which Champaign is most often compared, and that would be counties of a similar size and close to us. And those counties are Kankakee, Macon, McLean County, Peoria, Rock Island, Sangamon, Will County, and Winnebago. And the only counties that pay higher than Champaign are Peoria and Sangamon. Matt had made the suggestion at our last meeting, those counties that are able to pay higher, get in touch with them and find out what are they able to do, how are they able to come up with those higher per diems. And so this is the chart, and then this also shows what we've been paying for mileage and meals. So this is material that I have to thank Judge Stefanis for getting for us. But really, we don't... unfortunately, we're not able to... the survey hasn't been done. And I will forward to all of you the message that I got from Deb Busey, and the subject line, it says juror fees. She does provide us with the statutes that set out what those fees must be. And the other thing the other commitment that I made was to be in touch with Rhonda Adams to find out what are the dates in the coming year when the jury commission will meet, and those dates are, well, we missed the one in January, January 20th, but February 17th, March 17th, April 21st, May 19th. Because in the past, we thought it would be good for us to sit in on not the full day of the jury commission session, but part of it. So the next time, the next opportunity we have, if we would like to observe the jury commission, that's February 17th. That's just the week after the League of Women Voters.
And they only do it in the morning, isn't that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would caution about is, if you're going to sit in there, you may want to ask the person who's coming in whether it's okay, because a lot of times these people have to divulge, you know, economic mm-hmm. information or personal information about their health, and they may not want to do that if there's a large group of people there as opposed to just a few jury commissioners. So you may just want to ask them when the person comes, is it okay if we stay?
The jury commission is not like a public meeting that's required to be open to the press.
Correct. Well,
it does not meet by the terms of the Illinois Open Meetings
Act. Right. It's just there's just the three of them, and they meet here at Brookins.
Okay. It's the meeting room Putman, right?
Well, it used to be there. Okay.
It's the county clerk's meeting room now. At least it is temporarily. Still after the election. But
if you want to make note of it, the next opportunity, and I wouldn't think of doing it without checking first with Commissioner Adams and the others.
Well, and then, like I said, when you're right. there, actually ask the person who's coming in to talk to them if it's okay if you stay.
It's February 17th, and then after that, March 17th.
Can I say something? I would suggest not everybody coming at one time, because some of these people, when they come in, this is their first contact with the justice system, and they actually come in there shaking.
They don't want to be overwhelmed.
Okay.
Well, and like I said, they may not want to reveal that they have serious health-related issues.
Right.
Because our jury commissioners don't, you know, they want to make sure these people have legitimate excuses, so they do ask some questions to find out what's going on with them.
Something else that I said I would do at the last meeting was we talked a lot about what kind of jury leave policies might be in place by certain employers in our area. And this is the jury duty policy at the publisher in town called Human Kinetics. And on the back is the county's jury and witness duty leave policy. And I think these are highly enlightened. These are just terrific if we could get more employers to adopt something like this, so that when a person agrees to respond to the summons to jury duty, that they don't have to suffer a financial hardship and go without a day's pay. So that was old business from last.
Well, thank you so much. Also, under
Jenny, did you happen to ask them if they would want, if any of the congregation members would be able to come and talk to us?
Yes, Wanda is more than pleased to do this. I'll forward you this message from her. Thank you for the note.
And I think we also were wondering if they kept any statistics on why they excused people.
That is actually captured in the computer software system to some degree, not with any, without a great deal of specificity, but they put a code on each one as to why it is that they're excusing them. There's about half a dozen. Usually they fall into economic or health-related reasons, but that's if that information is something we can glean from the system and Kirk could provide to us at some future time.
Wow, well, and that's wonderful. They pay their employees up to 10 days if they're in committee.
Well, other employers do, too. I know that when I worked at Carl, it was the same as what the county's policy is, which is they would pay you your regular salary and you turn in the check that you get for the per diem.
I think our
organization. The schools are like that, too.
Roger, can you update us on HB 4002?
HB 4002.
House Bill 4002, Representative Sidney Mathis.
Okay, that was the one that it died in the Rules Committee, I believe, is the last update that we have. I have not checked to see if that has been reintroduced, but I think that's the last thing I remember was that at least it was being discussed at that time. But normally when a bill doesn't get enough support, it will die in the Rules Committee, and I think that's where that bill was left. So I don't know if there's been a similar... a similar legislation proposed, and it was about excuses. It was about money for being on jury duty. And then I will look at that before the next meeting and see if someone else has proposed something similar.
Okay, yeah, because it was to establish a county juror fund and increase jurors for DM pay. So it would establish a county juror fund.
Right, and it also there were also parts of that we didn't like, which included... Wasn't there a part that it was a misdemeanor if you didn't show up or there was some sort of penalty? But anyway,
right.
I can check to see if anything similar has been proposed and get back to us. But that's where that could be.
Okay. When we talked about the legislative agenda, if you look in the second page of the minutes, legislative agenda discussion, the things that we thought we could support, state subsidization of per diems that the counties are able to pay to jurors, opposition to punitive charges against people who fail to appear for jury duty. That's that part of that bill that we didn't like.
Right.
A jury pool broader than that currently allowed by state law. And Patrick, that's what you were talking about.
Right.
Couldn't it be enlarged to include things other than people who have registered to vote and have state IDs?
A number.
And then creation of a tax credit for employers whose personnel policies include paid jury duty. Mm-hmm. That would be a nice thing to be pushing for.
Sure.
The deadline to have substantive measures introduced is coming up real soon. It's February 11th. That's the deadline to introduce substantive bills into the House. So I don't know if that would give us time to sit down with Chapin Rose and Ms. Jacobson. But can everybody agree with these four things? Would we like to push for those?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Can I get a copy of that?
Sure, that's in the minutes that you probably
have. November minutes.
Yeah, November
20th minutes. Because Randy said he was willing, and I'll see if I can get an appointment with Jacobson. Okay.
So you'll be in charge of that.
We might have missed the deadline.
I doubt it. Maybe I'll think about it.
February 11th. Okay.
Also plus, there are some people create these, what they call them, empty bills.
Shell bills.
Okay.
Yeah, shell bills.
Okay. Okay. Shell bills.
Okay.
They can dump stuff in.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, if you can think of something other than those four items.
But you probably should contact Naomi right away.
Right, okay. Just send me an email if there's something else you'd like us to bring up when we meet with them.
Okay. So if there's no other old business, we're moving down. Is there any new business?
Two announcements. February 1, I go to a four-day conference in Chicago where all the judges in the state of Illinois have to attend. We're doing it 50% in February, 50% in April. There's a 2.5-hour block on jury diversity, which I'm going to attend, and I'll bring you the information that
wow.
the administrative office is providing to judges in that educational setting. And Roger gave me a blurb this morning. The United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments on something basically jury diversity. And what does that mean? And what is a jury of your peers?
Good.
They did oral argument, was it last week? And you might get a decision from the United States Supreme Court sometime in the spring.
Oh, that's
so it'll be interesting to see
what they think.
Can,
yeah. Yeah, it would be February 1st.
February 1, I'll be at the
okay.
conference for
okay.
4 days. And I'll bring the materials back for the next meeting.
Or you said it's in Chicago?
4 days.
It's a 4 day conference, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we look forward to that in the court system.
Okay. Any other new business?
We had talked about inviting the Ministerial Alliance to a future meeting. And this is also reported on in the minutes
okay.
that you approved tonight. That
okay.
I thought that the sense of this body was to see when is it convenient for them. A problem we have in getting people to our meetings is that we don't have a set meeting date.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe...
What I should do then is... I thought we did have a set meeting date. We were meeting on the 3rd.
I don't think we ever had a set meeting.
We just knew it was Friday.
It was Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
Friday. So we can get.
Yes. Go ahead, man.
What would we be? I'm not opposed to this at all, but what would we be inviting them for? I don't want them to come. I want them
right.
to come here with us to be able to
right.
not only. I mean, obviously, we probably tell them about the work we've been doing, but then
they reach a lot of people on Fridays if they make.
But what are we proposing?
Right. I did not put that on the agenda.
No.
That was Aaron's thing.
Exactly, but I'm just
so.
Saying before. I mean, I would just like to say I want us to have an idea of what we might be proposing to them, or are we just going to just kind of. Talk with them, and
well,
I mean, you ask
I can't answer
yeah,
the question.
You ask people to come someplace. You
right.
just want to make
well,
sure that.
Pius's there. Point is, why don't we go to their meeting?
Yeah,
I
think we're
yeah.
Well, I mean, if
but, yeah,
you
know,
I mean, it's his idea. Don't look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the point was to ask Jim
throw him under the bus
and information.
That's right.
So if we're going to ask one person to disseminate information, we might as well ask all of them at the same time.
Yeah. I think it does make sense to go to their meeting. And they meet, and they have a set meeting. I
mm-hmm.
think they meet like the second Saturday at 10 o'clock or something.
Is there two ministerial lines?
There's two different groups.
There's two different groups.
So, but, you know, I think that maybe that's something that we can talk about when the chair comes back.
Yeah.
So,
should we try to schedule a next meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we should try.
Mm-hmm. Not February 19th.
February 19th is suggested.
Is that a Friday? That's
good.
Hmm? Is that a Friday?
Should be.
That's 2 days after the commission hearing and
the second.
The second.
The fifth would be a Friday and then the 12th and the 19th.
The jury.
Math.
Commission. All about Wanda's.
Oh, right.
What's they're called jury.
Commissioners.
So
yes,
how does the 19th
five, look? Yeah, 5/12/19/26.
That's good.
All right,
okay.
That's Friday.
Okay. So will the media subcommittee have a report by then? Can you make a report by then?
That's a month.
So let me, only the subcommittee, are we meeting or am I just developing a public service announcement and sending it out in email?
Well, I was hoping that we could have a smaller group can meet,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we can invite, like, Dr. in on that meeting,
because
mm-hmm. he's pretty creative in that area.
19th is fine.
But that's up to you. You're going to be running it. So it looks like the 19th will be fine. Patrick is going to work out. We can, I mean, we've got time to meet before then if you find the time.
I think, because Patrick, it would be a smaller group, maybe mm-hmm. just you, Tricia, Dr. Patterson, and Aaron, and at a time when the four of you could get together and then get some ideas that you could bring to us by that date that'll be 1 month from tonight.
And the reason I say Dr. P, because he has that, he does broadcasting a lot, and he does reach a lot of youth, so he can communicate with them in a way, and so he can maybe help us.
Do you already have studio language time, or would he provide that?
Right now we're just getting the copy, and we could go, I think you can do it, as long as you're running, ads on the station, they would do it for free. So if we get the copy, we can go into BCP, and as long as we're going to be running the spots on their radio station, they'll let us cut it in their stations. Okay. So we didn't have any public participation in the beginning, so I would assume we won't have any now, and we
can
are.
I see that over.
Philip, if you or anybody else can meet up to just in your report schedule,
okay,
and I'll make Kirk available.
Mary Beth had an email. I think maybe you are not on everybody's.
I wish you could come here, but
you don't get all the junk mail.
Right.
CA, BJC.
Do you have Mary Beth's paper there?
I think the judge has it.
Oh, okay. Do you
want it? No, that's fine.
I want to read it. Can I read that?
Jenny, I want to ask you about something.
Okay.
I would like to get a lot of publicity from the News Gazette.
You want publicity?
For Aaron's, when Aaron talks
to
the league, who should I call?
Good luck.
I'm not going to listen to this stuff.